Look, we get it, Tiger fans. We know the baseball season can be a grind. Luckily, when you're ready to trade hot dogs for tailgates, we've got you covered with Litterbox, a Detroit Lions podcast. It's the same unfiltered Detroit sports talk you get here, just with more biting kneecaps and fewer bullpen meltdowns. So when Sunday rolls around, don't just pace around like AJ Hinch waiting for a reliever. Fire up Litterbox, a Detroit Lions podcast, wherever you're listening now, and roar with us through the NFL season. You're listening to The Litterbox, a Detroit Tigers podcast, with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson. Litterbox listeners, the Tigers did exactly what we wanted them to do this past week, or weekend, Labor Day weekend. They took 2 out of 3 from the Royals. They kept the distance between them and the Royals in the Central. 9.5 games is where it sits right now. Cleveland is 10.5 back. Royals and Cleveland are still a thought for a possible wild card, but that is becoming less and less attainable by the day at this point. So we'll see how things kind of shake out here in the final month of the season. We are heading down the stretch. We have September call-ups coming pretty soon to discuss. Once we know what those names are, probably in the next episode, maybe in our Mets recap. But I wanted to touch on something real quick, Bill. Bill, are you a rib fan? Do you enjoy ribs?
Yes. It's a sometimes food, though.
It's a sometimes food. Is it because of you just don't dig them that much, or because your stomach can't handle that type of a rich barbecue?
I just don't think it's really all that healthy. They're delicious. And I think health being cast aside, who wouldn't want to eat ribs?
Exactly. There you go. That's
it. Every other day, every third day. But it's just not, A, it might lose its specialness. B, I can't imagine what your doctor would say if you did eat that way regarding cholesterol, hypertension, overall health.
Certainly a barbecue dish that you're not eating every day, or any barbecue for that matter, shouldn't be eating every day.
No, I don't get how people in Texas that do eat barbecue every day, or certain areas of the country, have life expectancies beyond 55. And maybe they don't.
They may not.
Yeah.
They may not.
Yeah,
I'm not 100% sure they do. We had, our typical Labor Day fair this past weekend, had friends had a barbecue, and I ran into probably one of the more perfect home-cooked barbecued ribs slabs I have run into in my life. A big hats off to my friend Adam. He cooked some ribs for us. They were delicious. I mean, I kind of sat there questioning why I bother doing barbecue sometimes when I taste somebody else's barbecue that's so good. And I think that, a way to a man's heart is to compliment him on his meat. And I give him the highest compliment on his meat that he produced for us this past weekend. I haven't had ribs fall off the bone. Homemade ribs, not at the store, not at the restaurant. I got a lot of good restaurant ribs out there, but homemade ribs, it takes a lot of time to put something like that together. They fell off the bone. They were delicious, and they didn't need a ton of barbecue sauce, which is kind of the key. It's kind of the key.
And were they baby backs or
they
St.
were baby
Louis
back? Yes, okay. They were. I believe they were baby backs. Somebody did ask that question. They were like, St. Louis style or baby backs? And he said, yes. So I believe there were baby backs. I believe that was the method, and the cut.
How did he prepare them?
He grilled them on a big green egg, which, I mean, I've got a green egg too. I do not do my ribs quite as well. I do a decent rib, but sometimes the consistency with whether they fall off that bone, I'm going to have to get more direction and education from him on this. I did not pick his brain on it last night because he was busy running around and tending to his guests and whatnot.
So I do have fall off the bone, meaning that is how I do mine as well.
You like them that way? Because there's a school of thought around this that people
like
want to wrestle with it. They want like a jerky on there and they want to yank at it.
No.
It's like getting your teeth flossed and everything by the rib meat.
I don't like rib meat in my teeth.
No, an uncomfortable situation. And then later in the evening, you find a hunk of it. It's awful.
I
like it to fall right off.
Clean,
nice and tender, juicy. And sometimes you got to really sather them in a barbecue sauce if they're not that way, just to soften them up a little bit. I didn't find these to be that way at all. They were delicious, tasty. But I agree with you on the health side of it. I now am, in my later years, I am finding I can have about a quarter to a half slab. And then like 2 a.m, I'll wake up just sweating. Just in a full sweat in bed with meat, for no reason. Just meat sweats. I never used to get them, and now I'm getting the meat sweats more often. I'm chalking it up to age.
So did he prep these, Adam, that is, prep these ribs in any way that we know of outside of on the green egg?
This is what I got to ask.
Okay,
because I don't know what he's described it to me once before a long time ago when we were talking about this many years back, and it sounded very simple. Now, the key to this whole thing, the braggadocio around this is that you make it sound simple. Like, I don't do that much. I just, you know, I got the magic touch. But I don't know what he did. So I'll have to pick his brain a little more and get his true process.
Can
down.
I share mine?
Go. I'd love to hear yours.
So if there's a key, it's getting good aluminum foil, not the thin, cheap stuff.
So the thick stuff made for grilling.
Yes.
Okay.
That's step one.
All right.
Step two, dry rub. I'm a salt, pepper, and a little bit of brown sugar guy, sure. But only for ribs. I wouldn't do that for brisket or anything like that.
No, no. Yeah.
And then I put it in the oven if I need to at 200.
Okay.
And let it sit for a few hours.
So you're in oven first.
Well, preferred method.
Okay. Okay.
And what I'm looking for is baby backs, never St. Louis style. I just don't prefer that cut. It's just, yeah. It's too.
Yeah.
It gets too much in your teeth, too gristly, yep. Too much yep. fat. And what I'm looking for is an inch to an inch and a half of bone exposed away from the
meat. That was on his. He had that perfectly done. I noticed it when he went to pull him off. I was like, oh, look at the bones in there. The bone is exposed.
Yeah. So I'm looking for an inch to maybe even 2 inches. And then I finish them on the grill.
Okay.
And then I sauce some. I don't sauce them all. And sorry, there's one other thing I do. I cut up an onion into big wedges and put it in with the ribs to keep them moist.
Artsy.
It doesn't really add anything other than it just keeps them moist so you don't have to like spray and all that.
Okay.
I've heard other people like do some other stuff like
it was cider, whatever, apple juice mix, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I enjoy a good slab of ribs more than any, probably any other barbecued meat. And you know, I'm a Twin Anchors fan in Chicago. You can't go wrong with a Twin Anchors slab of ribs.
We need to pod from Twin Anchors at some point.
Just do a podcast from Twin Anchors and just talk about ribs and meats the whole time.
Yeah. We can cover,
be incredible.
I don't know, a sport, but
That would be incredible. I wonder if they would allow that. Yes. I don't know. You think they would allow that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have to have our people get out.
No, no.
Get in touch with their people.
I'm already covered. I've got it covered. We just can't do it at 7:30 p.m. when their rush is happening. And now that you mentioned this, Chet, Mrs. Billy P. has work trips upcoming. So I think I'm going to fire up a couple different styles of ribs here for Grady, my son, and myself. Because
why not? Some father son meats.
Yeah, we can be carnivores. And
that's great.
When he finishes crew every evening and gets home around 6:30,
get him some protein.
He devours whatever's set in front of him. He needs calories and he needs them quick. All right. Let's talk about this. Tigers did exactly what we wanted them to do. And that was, they took the series. And I think my only frustration is that the sweep was there for them. They won 5-3 Friday night. And then Saturday was where I was really focused. I know they lost 3-1, but there were moments in that game Saturday night where it was there for the taking and it just didn't happen. And then yesterday was masterclass yet again.
Tarek Skubal doing what Tarek does.
Yeah, I mean, he's back. 5-0 win. And outside of Dylan Dingler and his usual amazing production, I do have to give a shout out to Riley Green being the first Detroit Tiger to eclipse 100 RBIs. Mm-hmm. And he did it, you know, fairly early in the season.
Got a whole month left.
Yeah. And did it with 500 at-bats, you know, ish. And he was the previous last Tiger to do this was Nick Castellanos in 2017. Oh, yeah. So that's a blast from the past. So I feel good about everything. Saturday left me a little bit frustrated just because we were with neighbors all day watching college football, and it just would have been a great, let's call it the icing on the cake.
Sure, sure. Which is what baseball becomes to a degree on Saturdays and the early fall, late summer. It's like you watch your college football, you get what you want from that, and you're like, oh, let's just cap it off with a little baseball here and see what happens. Yeah.
Now, I do have to say, I don't think he listens to the pod, but somebody got to Jonathan India because his hair did not look nearly as gelled, moosed, whatever. Notice this that. Weekend series. He looked like it was blown dry.
Like he's putting a conditioner in there and just leaving it or something.
I looked like he, you know how they have like blow dry bars where.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like got a blowout. You think he got a blowout?
I don't know, but he did not look as sweaty. I don't either that, or maybe the weather's cooled in Kansas City. You know, maybe Kauffman these night games.
Maybe
I don't
the
know.
Humidity in his hair. His hair is responding to less humidity right now. I'm not sure.
Or I think the most likely answer is he listens to the Litter Box Detroit Tigers podcast.
He's like, I got to stop putting motor
he's like,
oil
whoa, These guys
are on to me.
Yeah, they're totally on to me.
Doesn't look like I'm showering. Maybe it doesn't look like I wash it. Yeah, maybe he let it get in his head one way or the other. So let me just give a couple thoughts on the series and we'll move along here, okay? So one thing that happened in the series, game one, I thought we were dead to right. We were dead. Like, we give up 3 runs in the first inning. Paddock had a rather pedestrian outing. He did settle down and get us into the fourth, but he 3.2 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits. I was like, oh, here we go again. Another pitcher blowing the game early.
Your favorite is the 3-run first or second, or the 4-run
second.
Takes
the wind out of you. You get excited to see a game, and your pitcher goes out there and just, you know, messes the bed. But the offense, to their credit, came right back in the second inning, grabbed 2 runs, added 2 more in the fourth. And our bullpen, I mean, we went through the whole crew here, Holton, Melton, Finnegan, Vest, which, by the way, those are probably your top 4 relievers at this point, if you're a Tiger.
And that would be a law firm that would...
Holton, Melton, Finnegan, and Vest?
Yeah, they would win you.
Yeah.
Whatever.
A lot of cases won
right there.
That group of names. So they closed it out. They did a great job. They closed out the final 5-plus innings. And that's kind of what you want to see going down the stretch, because I know what you're going to ask me about here in a couple minutes. And we're going to need a bullpen with this starting staff. Game two is just one of these. You're not going to sweep every time. Okay. And a sweep would have been incredible. And it would have been quite a statement. We had no offense. We just couldn't get a run across. Jack Flaherty goes, actually does a decent job. Kolek flummoxed us this time, Stephen Kolek, and their bullpen shut us down. Tommy Canley sighting, though, Bill. Thoughts on that? He actually put in 1 1/3 and only gave up a hit, struck out 3.
The changeup was working. If the changeup's working, Tommy Canley is lethal. And when it's not, we know what it is. Too soon to say if he's fixed, but let's knock on wood and say let's hope so.
Tyler Holton, not so much, but pitching on back-to-back days again, I think he's just overworked.
Tyler Holton is absolutely overworked, and that'll go to my question in just a few. Can I talk about the lineup Saturday and how lackluster I felt it was? Colt Keith has been somewhat a revelation batting leadoff. He was DH, but he went 0-for-4, so that's never good, and he wasn't seeing a lot of pitches. Here's where I really question this lineup, and it's not so much... Now, it's what's going to happen 30 days from now.
Yeah.
You cannot have your bottom 3 beat Dylan Dingler, who is 3-for-4 and unreal.
Yeah. Did his part.
He is not part of the problem. It's Trey Sweeney after him, who actually had a decent game for Trey Sweeney, but he's still batting 209 with a 583 OPS.
It's just not enough right now from your shortstop.
No, and then Andy Ibañez, who has had his moments, goes 0-for-2 in his pinch hit for Z-Mac, and neither of them delivered anything. Combined, they were 0-for-3. I really, really get concerned. You know, I love Keith and Gleyber Torres and Kerry Carpenter and Torque and Green, and I even really think the world of Wenzel Perez and Dingler. After that, we do not have... I guess Baez would be your next best batter. Is that fair to say?
I think so. You mentioned Wenzel Perez in there, and I would like to say he gets a little bit of an honorable mention for kind of, the quiet contributor, if you will. He keeps plugging away and keeps getting hits.
He has graduated in my mind from being a utility, like nice to have guy that is now someone that should be one of the eight position players. I mean, the sample size at this is, it is what it is, Chet. Matt Vierling is scheduled to come back within the next week. So is Parker Meadows. We will see on that. All things.
What does that do? What does that do for the September run? What does that do for the playoff roster? What does that do?
Outside of maybe moving Sweeney down, it doesn't do anything. You know, unless we get the Meadows that was good the last.
Sweeney out is what ends up happening so eventually.
That's the plus, but I don't know how excited I am about Matt Vierling coming back in any way, shape, or form.
It's games like that where we don't play to run and you start asking these questions. And then you go into the next day, Scooble lights it up, game three. We played five runs, all systems firing. I will say Kerry Carpenter has fallen off quite a bit. I am worried. I need him to start sparking back up here in September, especially for the playoff run. He has been in a little bit of a drought of late.
Yes, he has.
He's down to .258 on the average. Still has that OPS up above 800, though. That's like the calling card on this team.
That's the high
OPS
part.
Middling average, so that's good. Scooble went 7, 4 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. I mean, he's got a 2.18 ERA at this point. I think he is the Cy Young leader for the AL. He has some competition.
He has to be.
But I believe he is the front runner at the moment, by all accounts. And you got Wenzel Perez, 2-for-4 in that game. Jake Rogers had an appearance.
I was going to say, there was a mustache sighting.
The mustache showed up, went 2-for-4, triple, double, triple from Jake Rogers?
Do you think
Am I reading that right?
My favorite play in baseball.
Holy cow. Yeah. Two RBIs.
He was gassed, too, if you saw.
I could just see the sweat coming down his brow and dribbling off his mustache.
The stash
was incredible.
Probably just contained that, like a sauna. You know,
had a Rafael Montero sighting.
Thank you for bringing that up. Wow, that's just fantastic. So
fascinating cast of characters contributing in this series.
Yeah.
But good to see.
And we do have so many players outside of Rogers and Ibanez. The only other Tiger that's playing with any regularity and doesn't have an OPS well above 700 happens to be Trey Sweeney. So I don't want to.
There you go. I mean,
pouring kerosene on this fire, but the proof is the numbers don't lie. You know what I'm saying? Rogers is what he is. He is a veteran catcher that. And my question to you is, do you think Scoobs asked for him? Like, do you think
he could have said, I'd like Rogers out there for me today.
And I'm okay if those are the days of Dingler, because unfortunately, we probably don't need Dingler's bat when Scooble goes because of his ERA, et cetera.
True. You got a question to ask me. That was a good series. We got 2 out of 3. I'm happy with it. What was your question?
Now we have the New York Mets coming to Detroit. And we will get off this pod here in a minute so we can both catch a couple innings. Yeah, that'd be great. It's glorious weather
on our
here
Labor
in Chicago.
Day.
Yeah, how about you?
It's good. We're mid-70s here. Late August, early September is a secret time of year for weather here. I love it. Everything just mellows out and it gets real, real nice, especially in the evening hours.
So my question for you is as follows. Outside of Tarik Skubal, I don't trust another arm 2 through 5 or 6 in the starting rotation. What are your thoughts? Am I being harsh? I'm being reactionary? Or have I seen enough to justify my fears come October baseball that the Tigers don't have a true go-to second starter?
You know, the go-to concept, I was thinking about this the other night. Like, if I go to the bar in the summertime and I order a drink, I have a go-to. If they don't do what I want well, what do I go to next? And then the wheels fall off for the evening if things don't work great, right?
So you vodka soda with a lime is your go-to.
Tequila soda with a lime is my go-to in the summer these days.
Yeah, either a Tito's
or... It was once
a
vodka soda, probably. Now we're on to a tequila soda.
Yeah.
With a lime, and then what happens is I have to go to that number two. I have to go to that vodka soda.
So who is your Jack Flaherty of drinks?
And then I've got to deal with, you know, the bartender throws a lime in there, but I want a lemon. Then I got to take it back and be like, can I get a lemon? And the bartender looks at me like, oh, you're killing me, dude. So it's the wheels start coming off. This Tigers starting rotation here, Scooble, we are blessed with this, okay? Cy Young guy, back-to-back years. After him, I don't know. I mean, do you roll Flaherty out there and go with that inconsistency? Do you play matchups at that point with the other team and figure out who's going to have the leverage based on their pitch mix? Casey Mize is consistent to a degree, but he's like an automatic three runs.
Chet, that is his ERA over the year. Since the All-Star break, he's the worst pitcher, starting pitcher in the American League. And his ERA is closer to 8.
But Chet. Flaherty and Paddock are prone to explosions. Mize at least keeps things kind of steady, and you're going to get through a game. He's going to give up 3 to 4 runs, maybe more, because he's had a couple of bad games, you're right, since the All-Star break. But I don't know. Who do we throw out there? You asked that question. Like, I look at this staff, and I think you're getting your answer. I don't know. We don't have a starting rotation built for the playoffs against good teams.
No, we do not. And
we're going to get tested against the Mets this week.
Is Melton worth moving to a starter's role?
Yeah. I would like to see that. I think that has to happen.
And I don't mean like an overtaxing role. Meaning he's not expected to go 6-7 innings every time.
No, we get 4 or 5 good ones on him to start the game off right.
And then I know you have been up on him, but more down so recently. And that's fair. He hasn't pitched as well. I do think his arm is...
Melton?
No, Holton. I think his arm's exhausted, and I would really like to see his utilization conserved for October, because he did yeoman's work last season, and I feel like he has it in him, but he cannot continue at this pace on innings pitched.
We need to find our Bo Brisky for the stretch run. We need to find our role players in the pen that are gonna perk up and do it for us when we need it, because I don't think the starting staff's going to keep guys at bay. I just don't see it happening. I hope, you know, we'll just be fortunate, right? If they can come out and execute, we'll be fortunate in my eyes. It's not going to be an expectation.
Type like
Scheiser.
Well, no, 88, how, you know, he was automatic for the Dodgers. Yeah. You know? So a funny quote, can we put this to bed and then I'll give you my quote?
Yeah, yeah.
Ex-Tiger legend Justin Verlander, JV, got his first win at Oracle Park this year recently.
Wow.
And
took that long.
It took a real long time.
Okay.
And storied career. He pitched over 110 pitches the other day as well. So, like, he's still going strong. The guy's just
still going. He's still going.
His quote was amazing, though. When asked, did it feel good, relief, what have you, to finally get the monkey off your back and win at Oracle Field? He goes, you know, I really would have preferred to have won here in 2012. When the Tigers were in the World Series against the Dodgers.
Yeah, we would have too, Justin. Yeah. That would have been great.
But I thought, like, the guy's going into the Hall of Fame with a Tigers D on his hat. I mean, that English D, excuse me. And I just thought that was just a fun one to include with our listeners.
Do you think you are sold on the fact that he will go into the Hall with the old English D on his hat? Is an option for that? Does he have a choice at this point?
If you play the moat, I think it's only if it's like an either or with your career.
I see. Okay.
And then I think the Hall has some influence. Like,
okay.
Isn't Carlton Fisk one of the bigger
examples?
We might
have to look that up and figure that out. Yeah. There's been a couple guys.
But you think about him waving the home run as a Red Sox in the fact.
I get it. Yeah.
I mean, he was, I believe, Rookie of the Year that year. And
bigger moments in a Red Sox uniform than he did in a White Sox.
Yeah, he played more for the White Sox, but his moments were...
Defining moments with the Red Sox.
I think that's why he's in as a Red Sox, not a White Sox.
Well, I hope JV goes in with the old English D. We could certainly use a representation there. You know, outside Miguel will go in with the old English D. When will that be? In a year or two?
Don't know.
I mean, he's got to be a first ballot. There's no way Cabrera is not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's got to be first ballot.
I think it's a year or two from now, because it's 4 years after retirement, I think.
Yeah, so
it's got to be in the next year or two.
Yeah. All right. With that, we will let you all go enjoy the game today. Uncle Charlie's on the mound against
Uncle
the Mets.
Charlie Morton.
So fingers crossed, hoping for the best. This series, Chet, I'm going to temper expectations and say if they can just not get swept, I will be okay with that, despite being
really
at home.
Okay.
I mean, 2 out of 3 would be great, but the Mets
I think it's a good barometer for the postseason.
The Mets have been red hot,
yeah,
and they're fighting for their playoff.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say life. They're in the playoffs, but they, like the Tigers, really want to not only win the division, but get one of the buys, which it seems like the Dodgers, it's a foregone conclusion that they and the Brewers will have that. So that's what the Mets are playing for, is to probably avoid playing the Cubs or Padres in a three-game series. So,
well, I would like us to shock the world then and get two out of three. That would be lovely.
All right.
Go Uncle Charlie. Let's go Charlie Morton.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're Bill and Chet. We'll be back soon with more Tigers talk. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you got a minute, leave us a quick review. Till next time, go Tigers.